A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Ever-present God, search our hearts, test us, and know our anxious thoughts. Point out anything that offends you and lead us along the path of everlasting life. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O God. For you are our rock and without a doubt our most blessed Redeemer. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, the last time I got up to preach from this chancel, I told you a story about a roommate that I had, one of 15, and her name I will not say, but it was great. That was a great time. And so I'm going to tell you another story about a roommate that I went to go see of that saint from Chicago who lives in Massachusetts. Siobhan and I were very, very close. Siobhan spells her name like our Siobhan, Siobhan, in a sense, right? But Siobhan invited me to Plymouth, Massachusetts for the 4th of July. And let me just tell you, the beach is my most favorite place in the entire world. Just listening to the waves, it's just absolutely beautiful. And I had all intentions to rest and to calm my mind and to listen to those ocean waves because I knew that I had to preach on Sunday and I was preparing to talk about rest. So as I sat in that very sacred place, I laid upon the rocks and I fell asleep. And then I heard the ocean waves. I was woken up by a kind of like a loud crash as the wave went over me. And I was like, ooh, okay, I should maybe get up there, girl. Because I can't swim, so that's pretty interesting too. So I decided to wake up, but to quiet myself enough to listen to the story that the water and the waves had to tell. The ocean has seen so much. The ocean has been around since the beginning of time. That water has a story to tell. And so I quieted my heart and sat with her like a child listening to a story told by their mother. And as I sat on the beach and I heard the waves crash upon the shore, I couldn't help but think about the day before when I arrived at Plymouth. So Siobhan and I had this joke when she told me she was from Plymouth. I was like the rock, Plymouth Rock? And she was like, ugh, it's not really a rock. Yes, that's the place. And so, of course, when I landed, I said, you have to take me to Plymouth Rock. I can't be in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and you not take me to the rock. And she was like, okay. And she rolled her eyes, but she took me. And we went to the rock, and I was like, oh, this is the rock? I don't know if any of you have been to Massachusetts, but it's kind of like no bigger than this speaker right here. And it didn't look that charming at all. But 1620 was carved in the stone, and that date just resonated in my head. As I was looking at the rock, I thought, is this what they saw? What did they see? What did the ocean see when they arrived? So as I sat on the beach on the 4th of July, I couldn't help but think about the pilgrims who traveled across the ocean for the possibility of new life. So from 1620 to 2019, people have been looking for new life and new possibilities in the midst of chaos and confusion. Families have journeyed to this land with little help, but with great hope. Can you imagine what the pilgrims the courage that they had to have. I don't like being on a cruise because I get seasick, so I can only imagine what it's like to leave everything that you know, everyone that you know, all the comforts of your home, because the possibility is so great and so grand that the present just doesn't stand a chance. It's not as though they just decided to come as a travel, you know, just to explore. It's one theory. They really came for freedom so that they could be who God called them to be fully and wholly. They left their families, they gathered their children, and they set sail for this new land. 399 years of people traveling to this place for new opportunities, for new possibilities. To travel here, when they came, the pilgrims, there was no guarantee of what would be waiting for them, and there certainly was no certainty as to what would be waiting for them. But the possibility was enough for them to risk disease and death to make it here. From 1620 to 2019, people have been looking for new life and new possibilities. Oscar Roberto Martinez Ramirez and his daughter Valeria drowned not too long ago, crossing the Rio Grande. The possibility of death was less frightening than to be sent back to his war-torn country of El Salvador. To me, Oscar's story isn't much different than that of the pilgrim story. We celebrate that story and the possibilities that emerged from their courage. But Oscar's story and Valeria's story ended all too soon. Migrant families are being broken apart as policies become more important than personhood. And we see that the story of Exodus is one of migration as well. The Bible is full of stories of migration, and God had very specific instructions for the Hebrew people. God says, "You shall not wrong or oppress the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not abuse any widow or orphan, and if you do abuse them when they cry out to me, I will surely heed their cry." I'm not here to make a political statement. It doesn't matter what side you stand on. But as the Children, Youth, and Families Minister here at Marble, I can't help but to advocate for children. When I look out into our congregation and I don't see any of our children here, who are usually here because they're on vacation, I can breathe easy knowing that they're home with their families or they're at camp with their friends. But so many caretakers and caregivers don't have that same luxury of knowing where their kids are, those who they love. No matter your political affiliation, that means nothing to me. The gospel of Jesus Christ is very, very clear. We are called to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, just as you did for the least of those, you also did to me." So what does this have to do with rest? Well, if you're like me, I've turned off the news. I've stopped reading the articles because it's just been too painful. I have too much other things to worry about. It's too much. And if you're like me, you watch mindless television maybe to get your mind off of real life. And if you're like me, your heart is breaking open because children are in cages and families are being separated. The rest that I was longing for wasn't necessarily a vacation on the beach. The rest that I was longing for was the refueling that Jesus gives us, the strength and the courage to stand with God on the right side of justice. Resting in God means that we open our hearts to compassion, to hear the cries of our neighbor. The text says, "Come to me, all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me." What can we learn from Jesus? What has Jesus taught us about the stranger? What has Jesus taught us about rest? "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest isn't always about taking a nap or going to get a massage. Rest is about quieting our hearts enough, quieting our minds enough to listen to what God is trying to tell us. Beloved children of God, I had an entire sermon about the importance of rest and how rest is countercultural to our society and how we all need to take rest in the Sabbath and all of those good things, and maybe that sermon will come. But today, I'm reminded of all of the families who are searching for rest, who are longing to be accepted, who are longing for someone to acknowledge their pain. I cannot imagine the turmoil that they feel and the psychological scars that the children will have. I was thinking about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and the first being physiological. So we all need food and shelter and human touch. The second being safety and security, protection from all danger. The third is our social needs, unconditional love, room to explore and play. Then we have esteem, encouragement, learning life skills. And the last is self-actualization, hobbies and languages. Families are coming here just like they did 399 years ago because they're trying to meet their basic needs. The gospel is very clear. The gospel isn't political, it's one of love and life. Rest is so important because when we rest, it's just a pit stop, it's a refueling, a refilling of ourselves. We're overly saturated with messages, but when we listen and we hear the word of God, we know it to be true. That we too were once strangers in the land of Egypt. And God gave us rest. What are we to do? Are we to mobilize and go out and march? I don't know. Are we to write letters? I don't know. Are we to pray? That's a really good start. I just know that as much as I wanted to talk about rest, the Holy Spirit would not let me rest until I got this off of my chest. Children are waiting for us to advocate for them. God is waiting for us to use our hands and our feet to be the true disciples that we're called to. The text says, "Learn from me." If we can't learn from the most selfless human being that we know, that we've learned about, what good is the gospel? The gospel isn't good news unless it's good news for all. So no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, I hope that you feel it in your heart. I hope that you pray for those who go without. I hope that you pray for reconciliation. And I pray that you know that God is doing a new thing. 399 years, people have come to this place for rest, for hope, to plant new possibilities into this soil. Wherever you stand, whatever you believe, know that God is the God of us all, and that God calls us to stand on the right side of justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly. There's a song that just kept playing in my head as I was thinking about this sermon and revising it and going from the original thought to this new thought. And there's a song by Sweet Honey in the Rock. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. And that's Ella Baker's song. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. I think that we can rest, but that we have to rest in Jesus' heart and in God's arms so that we can be full of courage, so that we can stand, so that we can love. The gospel is simple. Living it out is what's hard. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Amen.